Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hey, hey.
Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
1208, this is WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Is the glass half empty or half full today? Pandemic leads to markets fall, and they're down from where they once were, but they're up 600 points, 650 points on the Dow, and as a percentage, the S&P's up even more. That's the good news. So typically, Terry Savage comes on for two segments, and lately we've been putting her in the second and third segment towards the bottom of the hour. We're asking Terry to give us a little more of her time today just because of this stock news. Terry Savage from terrysavage.com. You read her in the Chicago Tribune on Mondays, and you hear her frequently here. Terry, let's jump into that market story. What's going on?
So it's all good news. I mean, let's start out. It was all horrible news this morning. Dorian went over it. I mean, home sales and GDP crashing, and that was GDP down significantly, and that was really only included March, so you can expect the second quarter will be worse. There was just such a ton of terrible news. And two things are moving the stock market up, and the market is not looking at the current news or the past news or even the nearby future news. Number one, obviously, the good news about remdesivir maybe being not a cure for the virus, but at least a palliative treatment that's got some real effects. That's very positive. It's positive not only for the cure aspect of it, but for the confidence of consumers to get out and about and moving. But more important is this Fed meeting that Orion mentioned also that's happening, or their policy press release. They're talking about the fact that they're going to do anything and everything. The Federal Reserve has now, you know, it used to only buy government securities and put a little more liquidity in the market. And then if you took Econ 101 years ago, they could jawbone the market and tell people things were going to be fine. Now they're kind of literally create an unlimited amount of money. It's looking like their balance sheet of stuff they've bought to put money in is going to jump from about $4 trillion to maybe over $15 trillion. They're going to buy anything out there, not equities, not stocks yet, but they're going to buy municipal bonds. They're going to buy corporate bonds, anything that's distressed. They'll take it off your hands and give you liquidity. It's like the old carnival barker. And that promise of more money really is what's got the market moving. In addition, nobody's saying this out loud yet. I'm going to say it out loud. If the Fed will do anything to keep the corporate credit market and the municipal bond market and everything going, there's that sense that, gee, if things really got worse again in the stock market, maybe they'd even step in and buy stocks. And so the market feels like, hey, well, the Fed's behind it. They're going to put the money out there. Things will recover. The problem with the illness won't be as great as we had feared. And happy days are reflected in a really big rally today in the stock market above some significant technical levels, and we're up now 650.
Is it unprecedented, or what does it say if the U.S. government is buying stocks, buying equities?
No, it won't be the U.S. government, and this is a very fine line. But it will be the Federal Reserve, you know, which is independent of the U.S. government, as President Trump has often lamented. It is independent. It has the ability, let me say it this way, to literally create money out of thin air. And the very possibility that it might do that for stocks, but is clearly going to not let municipal bonds go under. It's not going to let corporate credit markets seize up. It's going to make sure your money market funds remain liquid. That promise that the Fed will create that money is enough to make the stock market jump for joy.
Is there anything that's very safe right now? Are bonds safe? Are there any guaranteed returns, even if they're low?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Once the Fed is starting to guarantee things, it gets to be very, very interesting. The safest and only, the chicken money things don't pay you anything right now. Six-month CDs, money market deposit accounts, even short-term U.S. government treasury bills, all less than a half of 1%. You won't lose any money. What's going to do, though, is tempt people back into risk investments, because there's this sudden feeling that with the Fed promising to stand behind everything, you don't have any risk of losing money in any markets. And that's the sense of the market. You won't lose money in stocks. The Fed's going to be there. Now, I'm not so sure about that, but that's what's propelling the market higher today.
Well, Terry, I'm not a market timer, but shoot, if the market goes down 30% and my horizon is long enough, I don't even need the Fed to tell me this is a good time to buy. I think if you can risk a little bit of money in your, or even a lot of bit of money, and your horizon is more than, I'll throw a number out here, 3 years, I think you're going to get that money back.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody can guarantee that, but that's what the best bet is, and that's why the market is up. There's a sense that I might as well take the risk, because the downside risk seems pretty well maybe guaranteed by the government. You know, I, right through the middle of all this, was saying, oh, if you're in your 30s or 40s, keep putting that $500 a month into your 401k, because you don't know what the timing is. For people, though, who need to start pulling money out during retirement, and I'll say the same thing I said with the Dow at 29,000, you need to have a certain degree of liquidity because you, well, fortunately, this year you don't have to take a required minimum distribution.
Yeah, right.
So it depends on your own age and stage. I believe America is surviving this, and the market believes not only are we surviving it, but we're getting beyond it very quickly.
You scared the heck out of people last week when you hosted this show with one of the guests you had on. This is the most buoyant Terry Savage I've heard in a while.
No. First of all, I should have started with a big, giant thank you. That was fun, and I'd like to do that maybe twice a year. I have a great respect for what it's like to go run a show with all the clocks and the hours and the producer thing. Got to read this commercial. Got to go here. That was a lot of fun. And I had a bull and a bear. And the bear, the guy that thought the market was going down to 15,000, was absolutely convinced that, and is still, I haven't talked to him today, but I sent him a note a day or two ago thanking him, is convinced that we're not going to reopen that easily. We have not seen the end of the economic impact that, he thinks that this goes, the economy is slow and people are hurting till the end of the year. So, you know, let's see how this plays out. He pointed out, one interesting thing he did point out, that in every big bear market, including the 30s, there was a rally, typically rallied back, and came back to half the losses were brought back, you know. So we've had a 50% retracement, more than that now. And then after that, the market went down and retested the lows. I am not discounting the bears, but there's a first rule of investing. Never fight the Fed. And if the Fed literally says this afternoon in another hour that it's going to put all the money in necessary to keep the economy going, then the case is made for the bulls. And Dr. Bob Frelick, who thinks it's going to be Dow 30,000, will be, I'll be toasting with a great bottle of wine with him at Christmas time or over the holidays.
Boy, no kidding. And if we did it by the holidays, I'd buy the bottle. It's a 1216. So that's Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. I've got questions for Terry about unemployment, news, and your benefits after the break, and we'll take your calls too. Get in line now, 312-981-7200. It's 1219. This is WGN. You are listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We do this weekdays on WGN Radio from noon to 1. And on Wednesdays, Terry Savage jumps in to give us some news from terrysavage.com. Terry, you were also talking a little bit about unemployment insurance benefits for people and those who are self-employed. What's the latest on that?
All right, John, this has been one of my most frustrating things, not only for me, but particularly for the people that are trying to apply for unemployment benefits. It's been tough to reach the Illinois department that handles unemployment benefits. I was able to do that. And I want to give you just a few headlines, and I'll write up an update for my website later today or tomorrow morning. The big thing is that, as you know, people who are self-employed for the first time could, under the CARES Act, apply for unemployment benefits. Now, lots of states had backups in terms of so many people applying for regular unemployment benefits, people who were laid off from jobs. I think in Illinois, we're pretty well caught up on that. But they still have not opened the portion of the site for those who are self-employed. And the good news is, it looks like it's less than 2 weeks away. Their target date is by May 11th. for you to apply for unemployment benefits if you are self-employed. But here's a tip that I got from, I spoke with a very high-ranking official and did not want to be quoted in the department, saying that you can go ahead and apply for standard unemployment benefits even if you think you're not qualified, because the fact that you're in there and you were turned down for regular unemployment benefits helps to establish your credentials for this PUA program, it's called. And that is the program for self-employed individuals. So that's on the nearby horizon. The second thing is, I want to reassure people. I know a lot of, I wasn't sure myself. Your benefit, when you do get it, will be retroactive to the date of your layoff. And that includes the federal $600 a week additional that you get to your Illinois unemployment benefit. And by the way, the Illinois unemployment benefit is a cap. Is based on a formula. The least you'll get is $51 a week. The max is $484. The $600 federal stimulus goes on your check in addition. And that goes on, by the way, until July 25th. So if you applied and you haven't, you know, or you haven't gotten in yet to apply because the website was so jammed, they will give you the money retroactively. You get a very big first check. And what else do I want to tell you? Part-time workers can also file for unemployment, and they'll review your application. There's a big thing coming up. That is people who are called back to work. Now, John, this is going to be a subject we're going to talk about a lot. All those companies that got the PPP plan, the payroll protection plan money, most of that, 75%, is supposed to be used to keep your payroll going. Here's what's happening. A lot of those companies are, yay, we got the money, and they're calling up their employees who they laid off and saying, we're going to put you back on the payroll. And so many of those employees are saying, don't do that. I'm making more in unemployment with the federal $600 on top of my unemployment check. I'm making more every week than you even paid me. And here's the catch-22. If you don't go back to work and get on your boss's lower-paying payroll, then you can't certify that you're unemployed. It's like you quit your job. So you can't certify legally that you should get the unemployment. So a lot of people are being called back to work, will make less money than they did on unemployment.
And they're going to and they'll have no income if they don't go back to the lower paying job, because the federal government will cut them off if
No. If you, well, the point is, it'll look like, yes, you're not eligible for unemployment if you turn down the job. You have to certify that you are available and willing to go back to work to claim. Every 2 weeks, you have to certify that to claim your unemployment benefit.
Well, how do you score that one, Terry? I mean, I don't blame the person.
That high in stupidity on the part of the federal government in creating an incentive to not work.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, so what, the benefits are too generous? It's hard to make that case right now, but now you've got this conundrum. I got an email from a listener this morning, very same scenario, and it was from a restaurant owner, and he said, we are calling the cooks. They won't come back. It was from out of state. They said, we want to open up our restaurant. We can't, because we can't get people to come on board.
Well, they think they're going to be able to keep collecting their money. And I don't know if the states will ever get around to reconciling the people on their unemployment claim list who are getting whatever the money is plus $600 with the list of employers who got this PPP and are saying come back to work. But individuals do have to certify every 2 weeks that they're not on a payroll, but that they're available to go back. And when I talked to the way up in the Illinois Unemployment Department, they said that would be fraud if you were called back and just stayed on the roll because you're getting more.
Another way around it is pay the cooks more. I mean, so make it, and that's easy for me to say, this is not new, and then charge me more for my steak.
Exactly. This is a very, it just shows how when government, even with its best intentions, tinkers with one piece of the economic machinery that works in the free marketplace. I'm not saying that restaurant cooks shouldn't be making more, but the point is, when you tinker with one part, the results come up in ways that you never expected.
312-981-7200. Terry Savage, terrysavage.com on a phone line. Here come your questions now. We'll get started. We'll pause for the news at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll take a bunch more of your calls and questions for Terry Savage. Bill, you go first, though. You're on WGN. What do you need to know, Bill?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I'd like to say that I've always considered Terry Savage one of the most knowledgeable and convincing financial advisors in the city.
Amen.
My question is, all this money being thrown out of helicopters, and I know it compensates to some extent for the fallen GDP, but my school training, I have 2 degrees in finance, won't it lead to inflation? And won't it lead eventually to higher interest rates on things like treasuries?
The question is, when is eventually? And you're right, I know that. I learned that in school, but it just doesn't seem that that's happening now or in the nearby future. Think of it as a bathtub, the good old-fashioned bathtub, where the Fed's at the handles pouring hot water in and cold water in and trying to get the temperature just right and just so it doesn't run over the tub. But down at the bottom is the drain pouring, and money is water is flowing out. Think of it where money. The Fed's pouring money into the system, but there are so many write-offs, so many losses, so potential for so many business failures, and money lost and that'll never be recouped in airline flights or hotels or conventions or whatever. And so right now, even though their balance sheet is huge and they're buying these assets with newly created money, it's just balancing out, barely keeping the bathtub full. Now, one day, let's picture that bathtub. Now let's go fast forward and say it's a modern bathtub. One day someone walks in and that water's just up to the level and pushes the jacuzzi button. And if you had a jacuzzi bathtub ever, you know that that water starts moving around and flooding over real quickly. But right now, nobody's anxious to do stuff with the money. Jacuzzi is kind of what we would call in economics velocity. It starts moving. And if there ever came a day, like in the 70s, when people said, I don't want these dollars, they're printing too much of them. They did that to pay for Vietnam and for the gas crisis, a gasoline price crisis early on in the 70s. People looked around one day and said, we don't want to hold dollars. We want to be long soybeans or gold or real estate or art or stamps or collectibles. Then when people don't want dollars, you've got a problem. That's inflation. But right now, there's a lot of liquidity being created, but people don't want to do anything with it, and a lot's draining out the bottom.
Bill, I appreciate your call. And Terry, I've never heard the jacuzzi analogy before, but
I made that up.
It's brilliant, and I think I got it. Kathy is next. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I still haven't gotten my stimulus check yet, and I heard, or there was some website saying that the checks would be deposited today, but they're still not deposited.
Do you have any idea when they're going to be? I do have a very good idea. Let me ask you 2 questions. Did you file a tax return in 2018 or 19?
No, I didn't have to file.
Okay. Do you receive Social Security, retirement, or disability, or SSI?
I receive Social Security.
Perfect. You're in the giant category of all my friends who are waiting for their stimulus check, and it should come by the middle of May. That's the next pass. The first pass was people who had direct deposits, and I know I've been hearing from a lot of people who get Social Security benefits. It will not come at the same time necessarily as your monthly Social Security benefit. It will automatically come to the same place, and you'll get it in the next 2-3 weeks, so don't worry about it.
I'm glad to hear it, Kathy. Stay right there, or hang up now, Kathy. Stay right there, and be patient. Our next caller, Chevy, has a question about the PPP loans. Terry Savage will answer that, and your calls too, 312-981-7200. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's 1234 on WGN. The Dow is trading up 550 to 600 points, depending on the instant you look at the screen. And the last glance I gave it, the NASDAQ was trading up 295 points, even a higher percentage than the Dow is today. Terry Savage from terrysavage.com. You read a financial column in the Tribune, and you hear her here on WGN Radio is on a line with us, ready to answer your questions. Terry had good feelings about what's happening with the Fed and with the markets. That's not the same as your job or the economy. But just one quick note about that, Terry. Even if you are unemployed or underemployed, if you do have any kind of retirement, at least you've got that. At least your equity, your savings, if you will, are going back up today, right?
Yeah, and that's a good feeling. This is why we always talk about having liquidity enough so that you don't panic and sell into the panic. I had a few people say, that's it, I'm selling. And, of course, that was down 30% ago. So you can never time the tops and bottoms. Just history tells you that. I've been around a long, long time. Your job is just to figure out how much pain can you take and how much better will you sleep if you have some chicken money on the side. And, by the way, that goes for still now today. Just because we're hearing that the Fed might be, you know, pumping as much money as necessary into the economy, and some people are extrapolating. Be interesting to see what Jerome Powell says in a few minutes, that maybe they'd even buy stocks. You don't want to put it all on the line here. This is just not a sensible way to plan your retirement. A little conservative chicken money on the side lets you sleep up through those terrible times.
Chevy's on line three, and I understand he is a small business owner. Is that right, Chevy? You're on the air.
Yes, I am. And thank you, Terry, for answering everybody's questions. It's been extremely helpful. But my situation is, I am a small business owner, and I did not receive funds for the first round of the PPP, but I was accepted for this last round, and I'm waiting for funds to come through now. However, I was thinking, you know, this is for 2.5 months' worth of pay. Am I just completely not eligible for unemployment at any point since I took this loan, or will I be eligible at some point?
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you self-employed?
Yes.
Do you have any employees?
No.
Okay, this payroll, that wasn't the right thing for you to do, and if you get it, I don't think you should take it. And I think you should also ask your banker who helped you process this loan to weigh in with his or her advice. But the point is, if you're self-employed, you can now go on IDES, Illinois Department of Employment Security .gov, Illinois.gov/IDES, and you can register for unemployment. Now, they're going to say, well, wait, where's your 1090? I mean, where's your W-2 form? And say, well, I'm a 1099. I'm self-employed. And they'll say, okay, stand in line. We'll put you in line for 2 weeks from now. You'll get your own unemployment. That'll be a few hundred dollars probably plus $600. The payroll protection program is designed to keep businesses going that have multiple employees and keep them on the payroll. But that money's got to be spent on payroll. That's you. And if you're not still on the payroll and your business doesn't reopen, it becomes a personal loan, which you have to pay back. So in general, but I don't know all the details, I think you'd be better off just getting your own self-employed unemployment benefit. And you'll get that $600 through July 25th on top of Illinois unemployment.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
Jerry,
so look into that. You went through a bank, and I would be very shocked if that banker didn't say to you, wait, you better off doing this on your own through unemployment.
How often do you get the $600 plus the unemployment? Is that every week?
This is astounding. My neighbor said to me, Terry, I got my $600. I said, you're going to get it next week. And she said, no, I think it's a one-time payment. And she texted me and said, you were right. I got another $600. You're going to get that $600 every week from the date you were unemployed until the week of July 25th. That's when the $600 runs out. Now, in Illinois, if you have your unemployment, that's going to last 26 weeks plus 13 weeks. So you've got a lot of unemployment. It's not going to be a lot of money. Again, the maximum check is $484 a week on just the states, and it's a formula based on what you were earning.
But if it's $484 plus $600?
There's people getting $1,000 a week, and they do not want to go back to work unless they, you know, and if their boss says, well, I've got this Paycheck Protection Act money, and part of the reason for taking it is to keep people on the payroll, so you're back on the payroll, and you're going, but no, I'm only getting $800 or $500, $700. I'm getting $800, $900 on unemployment.
A week. Okay, let's go to Dennis. You're on W. So therein lies the conundrum. As you said a moment ago, sometimes
it's
the best laid plans. This is Dennis. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Go ahead, Dennis. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Okay, back on March 14th, I've got confirmation that the IRS received my tax return down in Kansas City. Okay. I haven't gotten my refund yet. I haven't gotten the stimulus check.
Dennis, yes? Stop right there. I'm going to answer your question. You sent in a paper return.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Right.
That's about when they were laying people off, so they haven't been processing paper returns, even though you got a certified return receipt requested green card thing that said, yep, we got your return. So it is no surprise to me that, A, you haven't gotten your refund, and, B, if you qualified based on income, that you have not gotten your stimulus payment. There are two things you can do. You can go online to the federal government at coronavirusirs.gov/coronavirus, and go to the Get My Payment tool, and you could put in the direct deposit information so that Did you do that when you filed your return?
I tried to, and it says to fill out a form 8888, and then further down it says, don't bother sending it in. We're not taking any mail. There's no other way.
No. Online. At irs.gov/coronavirus, there is a tool, Get My Payment. Now, I tell people to stay away from that because it is so messed up. I know the IRS is going to come after me for announcing that, but it is horrible. It's probably causing a bunch of heart attacks. That's the one thing you could do, though, is put in direct deposit information. However,
I've tried.
You can't do that?
It doesn't work. There's nowhere to do it.
I know. It's a messed up website, and here's the sad news that I have for you. They've just the IRS just put out a release saying it's calling people back to work and will pay them extra to go back to work because it knows it has boxes of unprocessed tax returns. And until they get to your paper return to process it, A, you will not get your refund, and it'll come in the mail if you did not put direct deposit in for that. And B, you won't get your stimulus check payment until they get through processing your paper return. So I'm telling you that you probably won't get this until June. I mean, if you get it sooner, by all means, call in and tell me because I'll be happy for you.
I will too. Dennis, I'm sorry for your frustration.
Sorry.
And I know you're not alone. And I know that sometimes those websites don't work and it's maddening. I know that if you go to terrysavage.com in the right-hand corner, there's a direct link to that tool. And we've heard this from numerous sources. Certainly, Terry's been championing this. You can, in theory, indicate the routing for that check and sort of expedite the process. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and then you got to wait.
And right, and if it doesn't work because they haven't opened your envelope yet because they're not there, then you just got to have to be patient. Sorry about that.
Terry, it's nice to talk. It's as nice to talk to you as it can be, Terry. It's nice
to
talk.
I want to be back in studio soon, so I hope that's soon.
Thanks for your time today, Terry.
Thank you, John.
Read Terry Savage in the Tribune. Listen for her on Wednesdays here on WGN Radio. Her website is terrysavage.com. It's 12:42. This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. McCormick Place took a financial beating in March as the COVID-19 virus prompted the cancellation of major conventions and trade shows. Crane says McPeer reported a net operating loss of $11.3 million in March, and it's forecasting more pain ahead. Lincoln's electric vehicle project with Rivian has been canceled because of the pandemic. They might still co-develop a battery-powered Lincoln in downstate Normal later, but for now, no. Big cuts at Boeing as it deals with the pandemic. It says it will reduce employment by 10% across the company. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.
You might want to write these numbers down. Here's Steve with the markets.
Dow's up 566 points so far today. That's 2.3%. The NASDAQ up 291. That's better than 3 1/3. And the S&P 500 up 78.
Back to Orion Samuelson for some market news. Oh,
the news is that yesterday or last night, President Trump took executive action to order meat processing plants to stay open amid concerns over growing coronavirus cases and the impact on the nation's food supply. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, which represents 1 1/3 million food and retail workers, said yesterday that 20 U.S. food processing and meatpacking union workers in the U.S. have died of the virus, and an estimated 6,500 are sick or have been exposed to the virus while working in the plant. Two of the nation's biggest pork processing plants are currently closed. Meat processing giant Tyson Foods suspended operations at its plant in Waterloo, Iowa, and Smithfield Foods halted production at its plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The 15 largest pork packing plants account for 60% of all pork processed in the country. The Republican Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota wrote a letter to the president yesterday asking him to use his ability or his opportunity to declare the food supply industry an essential industry, warning that consumers would see a meat shortage in a matter of days akin to the panic over toilet paper and the virus created in early days. And yesterday, Tyson ran a full-page advertisement in the New York Times and other newspapers outlining the difficulty of producing meat while keeping more than 100,000 workers safe and shutting some plants. The ad said as pork, beef, and chicken plants are being forced to close, even for short periods of time, millions of pounds of meat will disappear from the supply chain. That's your money on 720 WGN.
S&P's up 80 points. NASDAQ's up 292. Dow's been trading up 500. I just keep saying that over and over again. It's my favorite song. We were doing that when the markets were plummeting. 600 points, 1,200 points, 1,500 points. Somebody said, why are you doing that? We know it's down. We don't need play-by-play. Several weeks ago, and I think they had a point. It just stressed the obvious, and it was bad. And now I find myself wanting to do the opposite, and I don't think you'll fight me so much on the S&P being up 80 today. It's not the end of the road, but you like the direction, don't you? Let's meet another Chicago area business. This is Dubac Electric Group. These folks are from where I used to live. I think they're in LaGrange. I used to live in LaGrange Park. Nick Dubac is on a phone line. Hi, Nick. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm well. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
You guys are an industrial electrical construction and maintenance firm, I read. I don't even know what that means. What do you do?
Dubac Electrical Group is an industrial electrical contractor as well as an integrator and automator. So we help build America's industrial factories.
I see. So if I was putting up a plant, you'd rather than coming into my living room and changing out a light socket, you would wire a building or something, huh?
Typically on the process side and heavily in the food and beverage sector, manufacturing, distribution, and the like.
How's business for you guys right now?
We've been stable, and with our new innovation, there's been a little bit of an uptick.
I want to talk to you about that in just a second. But so how many people does Dubac employ?
So Dubac Electrical employs around 250 people.
Oh, wow.
And seasonally upticks. We could peak out anywhere at 320 people during a peak season.
Peak because of more construction, that sort of thing?
Yes.
If you're in the food sector, though, say grocery stores or warehouses, I wonder if you're a little insulated from some of the ups and downs right now because the food chain's got to keep moving, right?
So it has been stable in our world, absolutely. We've been supporting the criticals and essential infrastructure groups who make up our client base.
So now there's this new thing you've got called the DuTherm X, and is this a product that you all are manufacturing or distributing? What is that?
So the DuTherm X is a body temperature measurement system that is a fully integrated product. So we don't own the camera technology. There's a component of camera technology as well as network recording technology, calibration, power supply relay controls that we have fully integrated as one system, which we are installing at the points of entry to safeguard points of entry to facilities.
So it measures my temperature when I walk through?
It does. It does. So the system is constructed to, as an assembly, if you will, and installed in the field of customers' vestibules, security points, just routine points of entry,
right,
at the interior of a building. And it will automatically scan your face and produce a temperature, whether you're within a tolerant acceptable zone or if you're above the threshold, it will produce an alarm.
Wow. So when I'm going into, say, a Bulls game or walking into my business, if we want to start monitoring people's temperatures, the same way I might walk under something that would detect metal, this will read my temperature and go beep, beep if I'm at 100?
That is correct. So we set the threshold to the customer's parameters.
Sure.
The default setting is 100.1 Fahrenheit. And if you're at that point or greater, it will indicate an alarm. It will also email the image. It will text the image to the designated security or building professionals or HR, whoever that is.
How accurate is this, Nick?
So it's within 0.54 degrees Fahrenheit accurate, plus or minus.
0.5?
It's a very accurate.
A half a degree.
0.54, just slightly over half a degree.
I'm amazed that this technology exists. I'm happy that it, and I think I'm happy it's out there. But let me ask you this. Is that a, are there any sort of personal privacy issues? Maybe it's none of your business what my temperature is. Is this allowed?
So, we're not in that segment to evaluate that. We don't have an opinion one way or the other on those matters. I think what's clear is that the CDC and the FDA have all issued guidance on temperature measurement, and it was key to understanding the evolution of this pandemic and measuring it, metricing it, understanding the spread. And without these safeguards in place, we will never have the protections we need so that we can see these health threats coming down the road. And I think that's really what the root of this is this is a long-term solution. We feel like there's a new normal coming, and we want the new normal to feel as much like the old normal as possible. Currently, there's a little bit of chaos at the door for the current essential workers.
Yeah.
People are tenting parking lots, measuring temperatures. We're looking to help restore order and allow for continuous flow and free movement of personnel and offer that certainty of health and wellness upon entering a building. So our system provides peace of mind. You know you're protected, lessening the anxiety that is built up over the current temperature scanning protocols, restoring the confidence and comfort that your workplace is healthy and safe. That's what our innovative system does. And we're pleased to also share that we've been accepted in the patent pending status.
So this is a brand new gadget, huh?
The technology itself was evolved on the thermal camera side in Q4 of last year. Our team started R&D and tracking of the actual thermal camera technology and the integration process in January of 2020. And as we declared a state of emergency, or we saw the pandemic coming closer, our R&D efforts finalized and went through commercialization very quickly.
I got just a few seconds left here. This is Nick Dubac on a phone line from Dubac Electrical Group. They're out in LaGrange. And can people buy this now, Nick?
Yes, this is available. We are coordinating installations throughout the nation. We're in over 30 states. And this is absolutely available for proposal. And our delivery time is at the 3 to 6 week range right now.
How about that? DubacElectrical.com, spelled D-U-B-A-K, DubacElectrical.com. You got to imagine every hospital, every airport, every NFL, NBA, and NHL arena, everybody's going to be in line for these things.
Yes.
Maybe schools, who knows? And,
it
would protect the student body, it would protect the individual student as
correct.
Well. And if somebody has a problem with that, that's that's not Dubac's issue. They're just handing the product to the people that want it. Nick, good luck to you guys. Congratulations.
You.
Sounds like you're
thank
on the cutting
you.
Edge.
Yes, we are. And also, Duthermix.com, Duthermix.com is the direct product site with the systems.
Nice to talk to you, Nick. Good luck to you all out
there. Thank you for your time.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for doing what you all are doing. They're still working.